evening. Our folks over there are practicing for our kids for next week. They got a lot on their plate for this week to get prepared for that. If you haven't heard, all of our service next Sunday is going to be in the other building. And so we got us some help lined up, and we're going to try to reserve some reserve handicap parking down there. So for our elderly, you'll not have as long a walk to go. But I know there'll still be folks on this end down here that's unloading their food and stuff and everything. And if you hadn't seen the new appliances back there, you'll be impressed as I was. A new stove and another warmer, so we already can keep everything good and fresh and ready. Looking forward to a good time of fellowship for our Christmas luncheon together, and encourage you to come and bring all that you would like to invite to come with you. And the church is going to provide the meat. We're going to smoke a turkey, bake a ham, and have fried chicken. Y'all bring the stuff to go around that, and the desserts, drink, bread, whatever you feel that you need to. And I know it'll be sufficient to meet that need. Looking forward to this time for our Christmas church fellowship together during that time, and the things that the kids are doing. We're going to start at our regular time at 11 o'clock. We'll have a couple of hymns and do our Advent over in the new building for the third week of Advent, and another hymn and take up the offering and stuff, and then we will turn it over to the kids and the adults that's working with them. And I'm excited to see, y'all got a preview the other day of our kids, but there's a whole lot more involved in it now than it was that Sunday, and I miss that Sunday. So, but I'm looking forward to it as well. So you plan to be here. Don't let anything hinder you from coming. We'll get you in, get you out. There won't be no problem. Just pray the weather will be pretty, and we'll have a great day in the Lord. And we'll all leave here full and blessed in the name of the Lord. Amos chapter 9. Going to finish old Amos up tonight as we deal with him. And after the holiday season and stuff, we'll get Obadiah and Jonah and them and finish up what we like over there with Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi, and we'll be studied all the way through the Old Testament. But tonight, Amos chapter 9 and verse 5. You remember who Amos was when we started this study of Amos? He was just a lay person. He wasn't a prophet, he wasn't a priest, preacher of any sort. He's just a lay person. What was his job? You remember what his job was? He is a shepherd. What did he do on the side to occupy his time while he was shepherding those sheep? He's in the fig business, wasn't he? That's right. Took care of them and his vineyards and stuff. And just a man out there making an honest living. When the Lord speaks to him concerning what he would have him to do. And God uses him in a powerful way to warn the people what's coming. So here in Amos chapter 9, as we look into these verses of Scripture, last week in chapter 8, as we ran over into that, he begins to declare the final warning And he does it in the form of a song. They put lyrics to this and were able to make it as if it was a hymn that they sang concerning this. So let's see what Amos had to say. Chapter 9, verse 1, he said here, I saw the Lord standing by the altar, and he said, strike the tops of the pillars so that the thresholds begin to shake. Can you imagine having the honor or the privilege to be able to say, behold, I saw the Lord standing by the altar? Now, different commentators, different study book materials and stuff kind of disagree on this altar. Some thinks it was the altar there at Bethel. Some thinks it was the altar in the temple there at Jerusalem. But regardless where the temple was, Amos said, I saw the Lord. And one of these days, you know, each and every one of us are going to see the Lord. Amen. We're going to give an account of ourselves to God. What did the Lord have to say to him? He said, strike the tops of the pillars so that the thresholds shake. Bring him down on the heads of all the people. Those who are left, I will kill with a sword. God is telling Amos to come up here with his final judgment, and in that judgment, Israel is to be destroyed. And the judgment that God is going to deal with them about will begin at the altar. And I believe the same thing for you and I when we stand before the Lord and give an account of ourselves. That judgment will begin at the altar, at the presence of the Lord, and the things that he would have us to do. And this judgment that he's talking about is going to cover all 12 tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel here, and the things that they would do in their lives. And so they thought, if you'll remember, we've studied several different times, the Israelites hung their hat on what? They had the temple of the Lord, and that God would not let his house be destroyed. Wrong, right? Because what happened? Old Nebuchadnezzar and that Babylonian and the Assyrians and the Persians and the Medes and all them gathered together. They come with a mighty force, and they carried everything away, burnt what they left behind, left only the poorest of poorest, the littlest, the smallest, and all those that wasn't able to make the trip back to Babylon, they left behind. But that little remnant began to grow and populate once again Jerusalem. He said, bring down all the heads of all the people. Those who are left, I will kill with the sword. Not one will get away. None will escape. Relate that to modern day you and I. How do you see that as being said? There's coming a day, the scripture says, that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Verse 2 said, though they dig down to the depths of the grave, from there my hand will take them. And though they climb up to the heavens, from there I will bring them down. Not going to be any hiding places, are they? The things that they're talking about. What is the grave? What do we know about the grave? Who's placed in the grave? The dead are, aren't they? And one day, what's going to happen to this old body of ours? You know, it's going to return to the dust of the earth from whence it come. And he said here, though they dig down to the depths of the grave, from there my hand will take them. And I'm going to keep them from giving account of themselves. He said, and if they climb up to heaven, there I'll bring them down. Though they hide themselves on top of Carmel, very secluded place up there, very hard to get to. And they felt safe when they got there because the enemy had to climb up to them. And so they could get to the top of Carmel, they could watch and see the enemy approaching. He said, even if they hide themselves on top of Carmel, there I will hunt them down and seize them. Though they hide from me at the bottom of the sea, they could go down and hide on the very bottom of the sea. He said, there I will command the serpents to bite them. The old shark will come and destroy that body. Though they are driven into exile by their enemies, there I will command the sword to slay them. I will fix my eyes upon them for evil and not for good. So as we think of this, to the grave or to the top of Mount Carmel, both of them as being inaccessible to us and our hearts and our lives, we still got to come to the realization that nobody's going to escape the judgment of the Lord and their hearts and their lives. And so that's good news for the faithful, but it's sad news for the unfaithful, for those that have rejected him. And so as Amos is dealing with them here, he said, I don't care how deep you can go to the bottom of the sea or you can go to the top of Mount Carmel or anywhere in between, but you'll not escape the judgment of the Lord. And he said, God says, I will fix my eyes upon them for evil and not for good in our hearts and our lives. How many people think they can sidestep God, yet get over here and lose himself in the crowd, you know? That ain't what the Lord said. But he said, I'll fix my eyes upon you. When he begins to look out over the vast domain that he has created for us, he knows the very number of the hairs of our head. You know he knows the evil that we have not been forgiven for in our lives and what he wants for us. But as we think of this, as God's faithfulness, we can enjoy that peace and comfort of knowing that we're not perfect, we're forgiven. You know, and by the grace of God, we are who we are. Look at verse 5. He said, the Lord Almighty, he who touches the earth and it melts, and all who live in it mourn, the whole land rises like the Nile, then sinks like the river of Egypt. Now we have to, that's bodies of water in their day and time, but it's like us and living in the Pascagoula flowing down through the heart of our county and stuff. We see it rise, we see it fall, don't we? Right now, we just coming off of an experience of seeing it at its very lowest as the lack of rain caused it to be very, very dry in many, many places. You can see the bottom and the opportunities there if you wanted to try it to walk all the way across the river. And he said, he touches the earth and it melts, and all who live in it mourn, the whole land rises like the Nile, then sinks like the rivers of Egypt. And as they watch their ebbs and flows, like we do, he says here that the whole nation of Israel, the land that he gave them was along these tributaries down through there. Look at verse 6. He said, he who builds his lofty palace in the heavens and sets its foundation on the earth, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land, the Lord is his name. Builds his lofty palaces. What did he tell us in New Testament time? He said, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I go, I go to do what? Prepare a place for you. Why? That where I am, you can be also. And then he described, he said, in my Father's house are what? Many mansions. Many mansions. You think of that. He said, he who builds these lofty palaces in the heaven and sets his foundation on the earth, who calls for the waters of the sea, pours them out over the face of the land, the Lord is his name. Which one of us can do anything to change the will of God that he has for this whole world of ours? Now, we're smart. We got a lot of capabilities about us, you know. And we can control the waters for our benefits to produce electricity and other sources, as well as for our drinking water and stuff, building these big dams and locks and stuff along our tributaries to cause us to have what we need to survive on. A lot of parts, places in our world around about us, they don't have that opportunity. They don't have that kind of water to depend upon. But God places everything under his control. And he said in verse 7, Are not you, Israelites, the same to me as the Cushites? Now, Cush was a city or a part of the country there south of Egypt. It was a remote and exotic land to the Israelites. What do we have people doing all the time? They get them a date on a cruise ship, and they sail off to these exotic places, you know, and down in these, and soak up the sun and the sand and all the things. And he said, are not you Israelites the same to me as the Cushites? And so this island here is where a lot of the Philistines lived, and they all began to migrate down to Palestine down there. And God said, it don't matter. You can go to Egypt, you can go to Israel, you can go to Lucedale. I got my eye on you. I know where you're at. He said, I will destroy. Well, let me back up. Did I not bring Israel up from Egypt? The Philistines from Kaphar and the Arameans from Kerr? Surely the eyes of the sovereign Lord are on the sinful kingdom. I will destroy it from the face of the earth. Yet I will not totally destroy the house of Jacob. Who was the house of Jacob he's dealing about here? The Jews, God's chosen people. And he said, I'm going to be rough on them and I'm going to destroy, but I'm going to leave a small what? remnant. And out of that remnant, they will grow back and to a nation. He said, here, surely the eyes of the sovereign Lord are on the simple kingdom. I'll destroy it from the face of the earth, yet I'll not totally destroy the house of Jacob. Jacob, we know and we've learned, is just another name for Israel. I will not totally destroy the house of Jacob, declares the Lord. Why? For I will give the command, and I will shake the house of Israel among all the nations. And Syria is going to be the country that he uses to destroy Israel. But as they take the people into exile, there'll be some that's preserved. There'll be a small remnant left there that will not go into exile. And you realize that the fulfilling of this that God's talking about here was prophesied and foretold way back in Deuteronomy, hundreds of years prior to this. And so they're going to escape a lot of things, going to get around a lot of things, but God will deliver. Now let's just venture between Deuteronomy and where we are for a second. Try to get you to envision this so it'll be a little more understanding to you of what he's dealing with here. Whenever the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and he led them to the promised land, they got to Kadesh Barnea, the entrance way over into the promised land, right? And he sent out the 12 spies. You remember that? And they came back with their report. 10 said what? Woo! They giants in the land. We can't take that. Scared them to death. All those bananas, all those grapes, all those pomegranates, all those figs, all those good grocers that they'd been living on what? Manna had. And bread and water gets old after a while, don't you imagine? They had the opportunity to go in and possess his land. The Lord said, I give it to you. Just go get it. Go take it. And they refused because they saw these giants in the land. God sent them back out into the wilderness, right? How long did they stay out there? 40 years. In that 40-year period of time, what happened? Every male over the age of 20, what happened to them? They died during that 40-year period, didn't they? Would you say they had a lot of funerals? I can only imagine what they was doing. And so God said here, verse 9, I will give the command, I'll shake the house of Israel among all the nations, as grain is shaken in a sheaf, and not a pebble will reach the ground. All the sinners among my people will die by the sword. And all those who say disaster will not overtake or meet us. You know, I don't care how confident you are in what you have. What happens? He said, all the sinners will die by the sword. And all those who say disaster will not overtake us or meet us. What happens, you know, at the close of the Old Testament and the opening of the New Testament? What begins? A brand new day in the life of the children of Israel. Not only the children of Israel, not only the Jew, not only the Israelite, whatever you want to call them, but the Gentiles, you and I. we get to be a part of what God has for us. Let's see what he's doing now. He's warned them what he's going to do, how he's going to destroy them and their lives. He said, disaster will not overtake or meet us. We're going to win in the end, folks. Verse 11 says, in that day, we decided the day of the Lord is what? When God reveals himself. He said, in that day, I will restore David's fallen tent. And in this punishment that he's talking about here, the house of David was, it collapsed. It didn't mount any more than a fallen tent. But you remember his covenant that God made with David? It stated that one of David's descendants would always sit on the throne. The exiles made this promise tough for God to administer. They almost made it impossible because of their denial, their rejection, their refusal to allow the Lord. This was a promise that God made not only to Israel, but to Judah also, to the north and the southern kingdom as they come back together. And he said, not only will I restore David's fallen tent, but I will repair its broken pieces. David's fallen tent being the temple of the altar, the presence of the Lord, he said, I'll repair its broken places and restore its ruins. And I'll build it as it used to be. When who built it? Solomon. That's right. And so that they may possess the remnants of Edom. And Edom made it tough to love, didn't it? They had opportunity after opportunity to do some things to restore their relationship with the Lord. But what did they do? They refused time and time again. And the things that God is doing for them. When God brings in the Gentiles, he's restoring the ruins. And after all of us Gentiles, all of us modern day Israelites, God will renew and restore the fortunes of all of this new Jerusalem, this new Israel that he's dealing with here as we share with it. He said here, all the nations that bear my name, they possess even the remnant of that small portion of Edom. What did Edom do that really cooked the goose with the Lord? Remember when the Israelites just wanted to pass through their land? They said, we won't drink any water out of your wells. We won't eat anything. We won't cover any of your grass. We're just going to make a straight shot through here. What'd they say? Nope, can't do it, can you? Made them do what? Go all the way around, didn't he? And that didn't set well with God. He wasn't asking for his people to be an opportunity. He just wanted to get them from where they were to where he wanted them to be. Now, if he held that in his mind, what he saw with his eye and what he heard that his people had to do, you think he's going to let you and I get by with anything? I wouldn't count on him. And 13, he said, the days are coming, declares the Lord. How many of you believe the day of the Lord's coming? I believe it with all my heart, Neth. I believe it's soon, too. Wouldn't it be an awesome Christmas for us all to be, what we sing, not a Christmas song, but when we all get to heaven. What a day that will be. Yeah, that's right. Days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman. New wine will drip, and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. What do you envision in heaven? You going to spend time sitting around wondering how you going to pay the light bill this month? You going to sit around and worry about what you're going to feed your family for supper tonight? Those kind of things ain't going to matter, is it? What did he describe the promised land like to his children, the Jews, the Israelites? The land that was what? Flowing with milk and honey. And he described it as a beautiful, beautiful land. And he said the days are coming when it's going to be a beautiful land again. He said the reapers will be overtaken. The harvest is going to be so great they ain't going to have room for it all. And he said they'll be overtaken by the plowman. And who used to plow another field, we can't even harvest what we have. The planters by the one treading grapes. And we know the pressing out of the grapes and the juice for the making of the wine. He said, new wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. The land is flowing in milk and honey. I will bring back my exiled people, Israel. When he comes back, where's he coming to? Anybody want to speculate? Is he coming to Loosedale? He's going to gather us from Loosedale, but he's coming to that eastern gate, I believe. And he said, I'll bring back my exiled people, Israel. They will rebuild the ruined cities and they'll begin to live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted. Whew, that's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? When he comes back, he's going to do, you remember what he tell Jeremiah to do? He told Jeremiah when the children of Israel were leading captive down into Babylonia, captivity. He said, write him a letter. What did he tell him to do? Go down there and make the best out of it, didn't he? Build your houses, live in them. Plant your gardens and eat from them. Fill your barns and have your need. Do all these things, you know, dig your wells and drink from them and stuff. Because he wasn't going to change his mind. How long was he going to be down there? 70 years. How long are we going to be with him in eternity? Forever and ever. That's right. And he said, we'll do the same thing. We'll go down there and make the best of that situation. He said, I will plant Israel in their own land, and never again will they be uprooted from the land that I have given them. Now, I don't understand all the fussing and fighting and carrying on that is taking place over there in the land even today. Fighting over just a little piece of land here, there, and yonder, and the things. But I believe this. God set them at odds because of their what? Unbelief. And their willingness to go out to the other gods out there rather than to do what? Let the Lord take care of them, provide for them in their lives. What are people doing today? I don't need you. I don't need the church. I don't need anything. I can handle this job all by ourselves. You know? Until what happens? Something goes haywire. Who's the first one we want? We look for the Lord. Search out his messenger, somebody that can help us in our time of extremity. An old shepherd boy out there sleeping under the elements of the earth, waiting, checking his figs, seeing about his sheep. God speaks to him. What did he do? He obeyed. What do? A lot of times we feel like the Lord's wanting us to do something. We run like a turkey, don't we? Why? Not me, Lord. You got to run. You must have been talking about Joe. You wasn't talking about me. You sure it ain't Tom? Who? Me? I don't think so. So we go to Egypt or somewhere to hide, not let the Lord use us like he wants to use us. Any questions about this? Anything you want to share? Any thought? Yeah, ain't Vermel. That was her big thing. And what did he say tonight? His evil eye is upon them. Because of, he's not picking on them for anything they don't deserve. He's dealing with them because they had rejected so much in their lives. Anything else you want to share? I like y'all. You're a quiet bunch. Do a good job. Oh, we're going to all regret one of these days that we didn't do more. Amen. Then, you know, I've heard it all my life, and I believe it with all my heart. You know, our sins of omission are going to far outweigh our sins of commission, you know. The opportunities that we've had, we let them pass. One day, we'll give an account. Any other thought? Thank you for being here tonight. Remember next Sunday, speak up, bring a friend, family member, anyone that you can. We'll enjoy the day together in the Lord. Probably going to wait till after the holidays is over to dive off into further these last two or three little books. And I won't be here Wednesday night, but Brother Brian will lead you in whatever the Lord lays on his heart. But you do what he would have you to do. Father, I thank you for this time tonight that we've had to share. Oh, that we could be as trustworthy and as faithful as Amos was to leave his sheep, quit worrying about the figs, go tell the children of Israel, thus saith the word of God. We need to quit worrying about our sheep and our figs. Get busy telling people about Jesus. The days are coming. We're going to give an account. How will you measure up in God's eyes? Go with us now. Protect us this week. Bring us back to your house safely is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.